I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, are you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Bart Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, my name's Bart. Welcome to show 63. Boy, I'll tell you, we got a show for you this time. It's the end of the year wrap-up. Oh, boy, you know it's going to be good. Oh, a little sidebar. Since we have to discuss the year... John Kerry's name came up occasionally. I did what I could to keep the outrage down, but if we're going to recap the year in politics in 2004, we're going to have a little outrage, right? And if you have to bail, I understand, but this is a good show. It really is. Couple things up. It was the end of the year. All week I've been looking for some kind of thing in the paper, you know, that would list maybe the top 50 news stories or something like that to where I could go through them and do a thing. Well, of course, nobody died. I guess they're going to wait until after the year's over because, you know, the tsunami caused all this trouble. It might be the biggest story of the year and it happened after Christmas, so everybody's in a panic, got to rewrite all their lists and all that. So all I had to go on was an episode of the McLaughlin, whatever his name is, report. And last Sunday, they did the first half of their year-end report, and I love doing a show like this because what they did, they touched on... They would pick a subject and talk for a minute, and then new subject, minute, like that. So in their 30 minutes, they came up, sometimes it was 20 seconds. But anyway, so they got 20, 30, 40 subjects, boom, 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 one in a row. I was able to jump in like I was a member of the group. And, of course, there's no restrictions on my language. I got to bitch slaps of some people around, but only the most deserving. Like all the other shows, this is not like any of the other shows. This is... The first three parts are just this one thing. So if you really hate the first part, you're not going to like two and three any better. You might go to four if you really, really hate the first part. But lots of outrage. If you like the fire-breathing Bart, that's what you got this time. No sleepy here. This is master fire-breathing venom spewing it all the right places. The other thing about this show, usually it takes about 20 hours to put a show together. You know, we do a recording day here and then a recording day there, and then there's like a day of production, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't have no time for none of that. Going to see Mrs. Bart's family tomorrow, which is Friday. So I forewent the Thursday page so I could do the whole show in one day Thursday. So instead of having 20 hours into it, it's got about six. So whatever your expectations are, just keep lowering them. Lower, no, keep going, a little lower. Yeah, there you go. That's about how good this show's going to be. So I guess first thing, let's get out the way. Shout out Chinako. Oh, it's jam-packed, too. Oh, jam-packed. All right, shout out Chinako for the good luck. Oh, that's mighty, mighty fine. Have I ever told you that Chinako tastes so fine? It really does. Okay, no time to delay. Here we go. Big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Okay, let's get into some of this. I was trying to find a year-end wrap-up kind of thing that I could kind of bounce off of, but no, the best I could do was a McLaughlin report, which could be worse. They picked out the, you know, the fairest rap, the worst of the bad raps, the man of the year, the failure of the year, that kind of thing, so it gave us a lot of excuses to talk about a lot of people. Oh, and you're going to have to allow some tolerance here because John Kerry's name came up a few times. I mean, how could it not? How can you review 2004 in a political sense and not have a few things to say about our good buddy John Kerry? So let's get into that.
The best politician of 2004, a two-way tie. Australian Prime Minister John Howard, and U.S. President George W. Bush both won re-election this year.
Well, first of all, it's probably a mistake to put John Howard in with Bush just because John Howard is not some kind of world player. He's Prime Minister of Australia, but Australia is just not a big player. And as far as Bush being a great politician, well, he reads a script. He's like Reagan. He has no clue what he's doing. Well, he's worse than Reagan, but he's got no clue what he's doing. He follows a script. If you're going to give Politician of the Year out, you're going to have to give it to Karl Rove, who we all must admit is, well, except for Kerry's laying down, is a genius, because how could you get that idiot monkey elected? The guy whose last press conference before the election was just a total disaster. He couldn't think of anything to say. And then in all three debates, he stood there and says, well, it's hard work. Everybody knows that. And, he is a total blank slate. He can't do anything right. So how do you give him credit for anything?
Worst politician.
I give it to New Jersey Governor James McGreevy, who tried to cover up a record of corruption that was emerging by claiming he was being persecuted for having a homosexual affair.
Well, not too much comment on that. In Oklahoma, we don't get a lot of Jersey news. It's hard for me to follow national politics, much less 50 state politics races, so who knows?
Tony. Viktor Yanukovych, the Ukrainian candidate who had a fixed election, and he's still going to lose.
Yeah, really, what kind of idiot is this? It's a fixed race, and he can't win. See, in America, when you fix a race, you do win. We got to give the BFEE team at least that much credit.
Lawrence. Well, for worst politician, if honor means anything in being a good politician, and very few of us are left thinking that it does, then Dick Cheney was the worst politician because he sunk lower than any presidential campaigner before him by suggesting that if he was not reelected, America would be attacked. No candidate suggested that during World War II. No candidate suggested that during the Cold War. Only the administration that was on guard when we were attacked suggested it.
You know, it's the recurring theme that never dies, but Cheney wouldn't have been allowed to get away with that if Kerry had called him on it. It's so easy to do. A lot of you don't watch a lot of TV, but I want to tell you about a couple of commercials that just perfectly crystallize exactly what I've been talking about for the last year. Starting out, there's an AOL commercial, and I'm going to get the details wrong. I just don't care. I'm a busy man. Things move fast. But there's an AOL commercial where the secretary knocks on the door and says, sir, there's some AOL members here. They have some suggestions how to make things better for AOL. And he says, how many of them are there? And she said, oh, geez, a whole lot. And the camera backs up and it shows what looks like a stadium full of people, maybe 100,000 standing outside. And the point is that AOL is so receptive to anything you have to offer. If you have an idea, they'll just zoom it right to the top and just fix it right away just for you. And they kept running that commercial. So then here came the net zero people. The net zero people. I don't know much about net zero. They got Dennis Miller as a spokesman now, so that's a bad thing. But check out what they did. They took the AOL commercial and they changed it. They made it look as close as they could to it. This time there's a knock on their door. The secretary comes in and says, sir, we've got a bunch of subscribers that are leaving us for net zero. Apparently net zero is offering half price. We're charging $22 a month and they're charging $10, so we're losing a lot of subscribers. And he says, how many? And the camera pulls back and shows a couple of stadiums full of people outside. And the secretary says, looks like all of them. Now what they did, they took that AOL commercial and they slapped it so hard that AOL can never run that commercial again. This is so fucking easy to do, and it drives me nuts. Every time the Bush-Cheney team came up with some idiotic, stupid commercial or flat-assed argument, it is so easy to take whatever they said and put a little paint on it and put it on the air the next day and shame them so bad that they would never, ever run that commercial again. They could have done this time after time. We talked about this before, but just the Bin Laden in New York thing. Kerry knew that Bush was going to stand there and yell about 9/11 the entire time they were in New York. So why didn't Kerry take that away from him? Why didn't he preempt that and say, George Bush stood right here and said the people that knocked these buildings down are going to hear from us soon. And what did he do? He went after Saddam, who had nothing to do with it. Now, see, Kerry had a perfect chance to do what Net Zero did. Net Zero is a tiny player. AOL is a huge billion-dollar mega son of a bitch. And Net Zero just took AOL and they just ran their nose in it, up and down, left and right. They totally took the issue away from AOL. AOL can never run that commercial again. And the Net Zero, every time you see that commercial now, you think, boy, they put it to AOL. Boy, did they show them who was boss. And all it took was an idea. And there's thousands of ideas in this country, but Kerry apparently rejected every one of them. Bob Shrum and Mary Beth Cahill just sat there, and every time they took a shot, they said, oh, that's okay. The last thing we want to do is fight back. And then they took another shot, and then another shot. And by the end of the campaign, Kerry is, he looks like he's been on a bad date with Al Capone. And he just refused to fight back. It is so easy. That's why it drives me fucking crazy. Because all they had to do, if they only knew some tequila nut in Oklahoma, they could have won that election with their hands tied behind, with their eyes closed. They could have done it so easily. But they just refused to try. And it drives me nuts. And I hope someday this goes away. It may take another presidential election to make it go away completely, but how are we going to stand here surrender again and again, election after election, if we don't even try? In closing, crowd does the wave, but Net Zero showed everybody how fucking easy, and I don't mean to keep saying the F word, but it just drives me nuts to know that they had it in their hand and they just chose not to use it. What the hell is wrong with you, John Kerry, and what the hell, your entire team was that stupid? I would love to have been in the room to hear him argue, we gotta fight back, no we can't fight back, we gotta fight back, no we can't fight back. I want to know who were the aggressors, who were the appeasers, I wanted to know who gave in, I wanted to know who said let's fight. Can we get the fighters on the team next time? Do we have to have a whole bunch of cave-in bastards running our party again and again, year after year, election after election? I'm sick of it.
The West politician Yasser Arafat, recently deceased chairman of the Palestinian Authority. Arafat had within his grasp statehood and peace with Israel. He had the chance to achieve sovereignty for his people, but he couldn't bring himself to compromise politically. A blunder without historical parallel.
As you know, I do my best to avoid all talk about Israel and Palestine and Yasser Arafat and all that mess because it's a big mess. Nobody will ever solve it because everybody loves the stupid sacred sand more than they love their kids. But everybody seems to agree on this Arafat thing. Clinton offered him everything he needed to make a deal and he just refused. And before we finish the topic, let's remind everybody that in the summer of 2000, when Arafat and whoever, when all those people were at Camp David working on a deal, and they were trying to hammer this out, the Bush family sent them a message saying, don't make a deal. We're going to make you a better deal. Whatever you do, don't make a deal now. You're going to get a better deal from us if you make a deal now. You're going to regret it. Trust me. Listen to me. Do what you're told. Follow orders. They always do this. At the time, they were a private. They were just a guy running for, they had no authority to interfere with these international relations. They just decided to get in there and screw things up because they couldn't allow Clinton to have a success. What was more important to them, if they got peace in the Middle East, then how are they going to charge us $55 a barrel for oil? How is the BFEE going to make $54 billion if there's peace over there? It can't happen. They can't make any money unless there's war. Prescott Bush proved it. Poppy Bush proved it, and now the monkey Bush has proven it. They can only make these billions over billions if people are dying and they get a bunch of fear and a bunch of mistrust and there's war going on, ships are sinking and planes are blowing up and skyscrapers are falling down. That's how the BFEE makes their money. They can't make shit during peacetime. They always make their billions during wartime, so they warned them, don't you dare get anywhere near peace. You've got to be on a war footing or we can't make any money.
The most defining political moment, Patrick.
The Dean's scream at the close of the Iowa caucuses sank him forever. He was the front runner for the nomination. He still could have come back. That scream played over and over again as a defining moment of his life.
It was a bum rap.
Two things I want to get into. One, yes, of course it was a bum rap. It was horrible what they did to Dean, and the theory is that Dean had a chance to beat Bush, so that's why. Have you ever in your life, in your whole life, counting everything you've ever seen on television or on the radio in your whole life, have you ever seen them distort something so much as that scream? They ran it again and again, and they just sat there and giggled and laughed and ran it again and again, and then giggled and laughed and then ran it again and again. They just went forever with it, doing everything they could to discredit Howard Dean. They just pummeled. They piled on. It was, oh, and remember, this was the liberal media that destroyed the liberal candidate. Funny how that liberal media always comes up and then they baby the Republican, and they screw over the Democrat every time. And they still call it the liberal media because the Democrats refuse to fight back with the facts. In the amount of time, it was worse than impeachment, because every network, every cable Nazi, every talking head, everybody, they just ran it 24/7. I'm surprised they took commercials. They just went again and again with it, and they took it out of context. They made it look like, oh, we were going to let this man get near the White House. My God, are we kidding? Thank God we got rid of Dean, the madman, because he went yee-haw at the end of a speech when the whole rally was going on. Meanwhile, Bush can stand up and say, the most idiotic, the gynecologists are now free to practice their love. He can say something that stupid, oh, he's my man, we're right with him, he's the guy. But if Dean says yee-haw one time, they just go nuts, and they just played it again and again and again just to mock the man. And the sons of bitches, they just sat there, and they would giggle and laugh, and they'd say, play it again, and they'd giggle and laugh. These are supposed to be intelligent, serious news people and commentators, and they just would play that clip and giggle like a couple of stupid idiots. And they just kept going again and again with it. So yeah, Dean got screwed. And point number two, in this series, you're going to hear McLaughlin attack Bush. You're going to hear Buchanan attack Bush. But Tony Blankley is a whore's whore. No matter what, he's going to go with Bush 1,000%. Nothing Bush did was any less than totally perfect. And everything that everybody else did was 1,000% completely wrong. I mean, how does this guy get a job? I understand arguing the point of view. Like on Crossfire, the guy on the left is supposed to argue the left point of view, and the guy on the right is supposed to argue the right point of view. But to retain some kind of credibility, don't you have to now and then say, yeah, Clinton was guilty with Monica? Don't you have to now and then say, yeah, Bush sometimes says a lot of stupid things? I mean, if you're going to have any kind of credibility, don't you have to brush against the truth every few weeks or so? But you're going to hear McLaughlin's going to say a lot of things that are true. Pat Buchanan's going to say a lot of things that are true. Lawrence O'Donnell, for the most part, he's got things right, but he goes off on an attack. We'll get there when we get there. But Tony Blankley, the whore's whore, just sits there and lies the entire time. Third point, these people are here to entertain. Their goal is to get you to turn in next week. So they're not here to say what's true. They're not here to relive the year. They're not here to clarify or make. They're only here to be cute and make you want to turn in again. What they're doing, they're trying to be funny. They're not trying to be accurate. They're thinking, what would be the funnest thing to say? When you ask, what is the defining moment of the year? They're not going to tell you that. They're going to say, oh, I'll tell you what the cutest moment was. They just cheat. That is stupid. If you're a comedy show, then be a comedy show. If you're going to go over the year, well, go over the year with a little bit of decorum or a little bit of sanity, or maybe even, oh, God forbid, some dignity should be allowed to squeeze in there somewhere. But no, they're just yap, 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 a bunch of shills trying to be funny. They're not even trying to give you the news. They're just masturbating on the television, and we ought not to allow that.
Eleanor was there. She said, in that context, with that crowd, it was not inordinately loud. The press played
what Newsweek
the Democratic
said.
Press played that to the Hill because they didn't want him as their candidate.
I'm afraid we played it to the Hill at MS.
Right, you did. And I, it's true, I was in the hall. You couldn't even hear it. But anyway, I give that award to the Massachusetts Supreme Court, and the fact that they helped hand President Bush his election, just as the U.S. Supreme Court handed him his election in 2000.
You know, it's just too bad that Kerry couldn't stand up and say something like, we've got 1,000 dead soldiers in Iraq. We've got a world war that's never going to stop. We've got a president who's gone crazy attacking countries that didn't attack us and we're in no position to attack us. We've got $11 trillion missing from the Treasury. The economy is in the hole. We've got millions of people without jobs right here in Ohio. Ohio's lost a whole lot of jobs because of Bush. And all they want to talk about is what happens if two men or two women want to get married and live together. America, do you want to spend the rest of your life on that topic, or do you want to talk about the war, the economy, the jobs, and things that matter? Do you want health care for your kids, or do you want to stop the gays? Do you want your boy to come home from Iraq, or do you want to stop the gays? Would you like a job, or do you want to stop the gays? Would you like your children to have a future, maybe a little Social Security for your own ass? Or do you want to stop the gays? America, I put it to you. I'll let you decide. If you think the number one thing we need to talk about and concentrate on the rest of our lives is gay marriage, then please vote for Bush. But if you think we ought to be looking at the war, the economy, our future, things like that, then vote for me, because I am not spending my entire campaign screaming at the gay people who aren't hurting anybody. They're paying their taxes, they're minding their own damn business, and the Bush presidency doesn't want you to look at the reality of what's going on. They want you to focus on some idiotic Bible-thumping horseshit just so they can divide people and scare them. That's been the theme of this presidency. Divide and scare. That's how he's been governing since 9/11. That's his whole point. Divide and scare. Are you going to fall for that, America? Would you rather beat up on the gays on a false issue, or would you rather have the jobs, the end of the war, and a future? But no, Kerry couldn't be bothered to say any of that.
Tony? The Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, the first ad, began the demise. They torpedoed the Kerry presidency.
Blankly, and the rest of them know that the Swift Boat hand jobs was always a lie from the start. They know that. Later in the show, someone's going to mention the Swift Boat, and they're all going to giggle because they know they got away with it. They got away with it because Kerry allowed them to. Kerry allowed them to destroy his career. Kerry's going to go down in history as the man who faked his medals because he totally refused to fight back at all. He gave them that. When they said, "You didn't earn your medals," he said, "You're right. I didn't." That's not what he said, but that's what America heard. I guarantee it.
Lawrence. John Kerry's statement that I voted for the $87 billion before I voted against it, a perfectly reasonable statement when you include the paragraph that followed it explaining the distinction, but the media distortion made it the moment that it turned out to be.
Once again, the liberal media took out a hit on another liberal. And not only do we have to put up with the liberal media beating our brains in and distorting and lying and cheating and giving Bush a pass, but we also have to put up with them constantly complaining how the media is bent over backwards to help us. We can cite 1,000 examples of how the media went out of their way to burn our guy and give the other guy a pass. And still, all you hear from the Republicans is, oh, the media works against us. Fox News is the biggest thing on cable. The original liberal media thing that I wrote a couple years ago, where I listed about 60 or 70 conservative voices who are all over television constantly, and Eleanor Clift here is one of the very, very few liberals that are allowed on any television show. And how many people do you know watch the McLaughlin Group? How many people watch educational TV? Sure, maybe some liberals do, but the voters, they don't watch educational TV. They watch Fox, and they hear the constant lies again and again, the constant lies. We have to take it. Not only do they beat us up and cheat and lie, but then on top of that, they keep forcing the lie on us that it's all the liberal media that's controlling everything. And our side just takes it because we refuse to fight back. Not one Democrat will stand up and say, this is bullshit, it's a constant lie, always against our guy, and then come up with a list. Remember, Clinton was with Monica and Newt was with his girlfriend. They went 24-7, 365 on Clinton. They would not touch Newt. They knew it. Remember, the Irish Times had a story that we broke in the sense that nobody reads Barkoff.com, but we knew that Newt was putting his hooker on his American Express a year before they exposed him. Every reporter in Washington knew that Newt was screwing his secretary. Well, at the time it was a hooker because he was paying for sex, whatever. He was paying for a room because he couldn't take her home to his house where his wife was. But everybody knew that, and they covered it up to protect Newt, protect the Republicans, protect Bush. That's the constant we get from the media. Constantly protect the Republicans, attack the Democrats. And our guys won't fight back. Go figure.
I'm joining the group here. The most defining political moment was George W. Bush's announcement in early 2004 that he would support a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. That act defined the political field of play, and it defined Mr. Bush as a candidate who will do anything it takes to win.
Did you catch that little bit of honesty there from John McLaughlin? Bush will do anything it takes to win. Divide and fear. That's Bush's motto. Divide the people and then put the fear in them. And then pick up the pieces later. I've said it for years. The Bush family fights dirty even in politics where dirty fighting is expected. They always hit a new low, the sons of bitches with their Willie Horton and their gay marriage, anything they can do to use the Bible, get those Bible-thumping crazies on their side, and make themselves out to be the good guys. 100,000 dead civilians, and they're the good guys. Everybody knows a blowjob is worse than killing 100,000 people.
Turncoat of the year. Tony.
The AARP that had promised President Bush that after endorsing his prescription drug bill, they'd spend a year campaigning and selling it to the public, then reversed their position and refused to do any of that support.
I wish I had time to either figure out the AARP fiasco, or maybe someone could just explain it to me. But how in the world could these idiots at the AARP support Bush when that plan made it illegal to negotiate for lower prices? How in the fuck could anybody get behind that? These are supposed to be, this is like the soldiers voting for Bush. How could they do that? How can the old people endorse a plan? They're supposed to be on the fixed income. They're supporting a plan that makes it illegal to negotiate for cheaper prices. When you got these sons of bitches like at Pfizer, they're selling drugs to Canada for $30 a month, you know, the end cost. But in America, we're paying $90. Pfizer is making a profit in Canada with their $30. So let's say it costs them $15. They're doubling their money to $30. But in America, they're taking their $15 and turning it into $90. That's 600% profit. And the AARP endorsed that. What is wrong with you people? I know you're old, but do you have to be stupid? I'm old too. I'm not that stupid. I got an IQ of 64, and I'm not going to endorse anything that guarantees that I'm going to get screwed. What is wrong with you people? Bush got tremendous political capital out of that. Oh, the old people, the AARP, they're behind me. It's the Democrats who are trying to destroy the idiot AARP. Why wasn't someone identified? Why weren't they forced to resign? What is wrong with this world that the Democrat is the only one that ever has to be held accountable for anything? Heard Randy Rhodes talking yesterday. It was a repeat, but when the 18 Marines died in Somalia, Les Aspin had to resign because 18 men died. Now we got 1,300 men dead, and Rumsfeld's getting praise from the idiot president. And the networks and everybody says, oh, they're great people doing a great job. Iraq's going fine. A few losses, sure, but nothing to resign over. But Les Aspin had to resign for 18, and we got 1,300 dead so far. Are we going to end with 2,000 dead, 5,000 dead? Why does a Democrat have to resign for the 18, and Rumsfeld can run into the, what, 10,000, 15,000? In four more years, we're losing three, four boys a day. Call it 1,300 a year. Four more years is another 5,000. Are we going to throw away 7, 8, 10,000 lives in Iraq and nobody has to resign? Fuck, give him a medal. How about a medal for Rumsfeld for being extra smart and extra prepared and being able to see the future with his magic powers? It's always the Democrats get screwed because they won't fight back.
Lawrence, turncoat of the year was, of course, Zell Miller.
I can't improve on that. I'll just add to it. Has anyone ever stabbed in the back his or her own political party with Zell's degree of spitefulness and venom?
I was a speech of the year.
Oh, yeah, let's all laugh and make fun. It was so cute to see Zell Miller get up there and trash a legitimate war hero with shrapnel in his ass. I can't believe it. And now, in February, he's going to go to the Swift Boat Award Banquet and give him some kind of award. The lying sons of bitches. Only the Democrats would ever, like they just said, no one's ever done this before. Only a Democrat would do this to us. And it's our own damn fault. We keep these people around. People that ought to be drummed out of the party, we think somehow, what good does it do us to have X number of Democrats in the Senate, if they're just going to vote with Bush, why don't the Democrats have a mechanism to force people out of the party? Who is that hand job from Ohio with the trash basket on his head? What's his name? Hell, I can't remember his name. You know who I'm talking about. The guy who beam me up, Scotty, that guy. Every day he'd get on the floor of the House and scream insults at Clinton and praise how great the Republicans were and Ken Starr and all that every day, and we kept him on because he was a Democrat. Who gives a fuck? Why do you want someone in your platoon that's stealing bullets and guns from you and giving them to the enemy? Why have a guy like that in your platoon anyway? The Democrats need to come up with a way to drum these bastards out of the party. They got to do something. Zell Miller, you son of a bitch. What you did, you're going to hell, Zell Miller. You just are. For personal financial gain, you trashed a war hero and helped an idiot monkey to destroy this country and cause this world war that's never ending. You son of a bitch.
Bart Cop Radio. Everybody's listening to it.